You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
There's far too many of you dying. You know.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. You can text us at that same number. Good morning, Chiricardi. How you doing, man?
Man, Earl, I'm feeling pretty good. I just looked at the weather forecast. I just realized today was Friday, and we're going to get some of that 60-degree weather today, man. How you feeling about that?
Well, you just realized today is Friday.
Yeah, I've been living in the week, man.
Hey, man. Anyway, I don't want to touch that, that you're just realizing today is Friday, especially a young man.
So what was yesterday?
Tuesday. But it is Friday, and that means my co-host Sandy Williams is on board. Good morning to you, Sandy. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing well. It's a, you know, you're right. This spring maybe has sprung. If you look at the weather forecast going forward, it's we've turned a corner.
Well, you know, Sandy, don't say that.
I know. I trust it.
Hey, I always remember back when County Stadium was still around. And April 15th, I'll never forget it.
How cold it could be, right?
No, there was a major snowstorm at County Stadium opening day for the Brewers. I don't know. We got about 14, 16 inches of snow. I'll never forget that, you know. But anyway, you know, back in those days, they didn't have a roof, Sandy, and so.
No, I know people used to tough it out, and it was the day off of work. Everybody apparently had tickets for the game, whether they did or didn't,
yep.
Because the workplaces were empty, the stadium was full, but the numbers didn't add up quite right.
Well, you use the verbiage tough it out. We used to tough it out, right?
Oh, yeah. Toughing it out for sports was, that's what the Packers are all about, actually. That's, I think 50% of the mystique of the Packers is, you know, you've got to be a real fan to go to a Packers game in late December.
Well, let me, using that verbiage, tough it out, Sandy, speaking of toughing it out, things that are happening, we're going to have to tough it out.
Well, that's, you know, to me, what the frightening thing that's going on right now is that apparently the people who speak up against the government, now people are beginning to say people have to have the courage to speak up against the government. That's the way you talk if you live in Russia. That's the way you talk if you live in a place where the government is a repressive regime. It used to be easy, and it used to be considered a normal process for Americans to stand up and criticize their president about the things the president was doing they disagreed with. You know, it was easy, and it was considered normal patriotic fever and fervor to talk about the ways in which you thought your government was doing things correctly, as well as the ways that you thought they ought to do them indifferently. And you people were, you know, it was normal. You know, that's what the news media was for. That's what everyone did. They were able to easily express their opinion. And suddenly the climate for that has changed. And people are now congratulated when they have the courage to stand up and speak their opinion.
Yeah, Sandy, you said it used to be, hey, a couple months ago, we could say that Joe Biden was president. And you could say those things. It's only
right.
Been here recently that you can't.
Well, just think, the thing that happened a couple of weeks ago when Vladimir Zelensky was humiliated by the president And the reason for the humiliation was that he hadn't expressed enough gratitude to the president. He hadn't been respectful enough to the president. And so he was banished from the White House. Aid to his country was shut off. Military aid was shut off. Vital intelligence was shut down. And this was a public display, not just, I don't think, to have an impact on Ukraine and Vladimir Zelensky, but it had an impact on me. It had an impact on Tom, Dick, and Mary because it demonstrated the extent to which this government could turn on you if you didn't show proper deference to an individual, Donald Trump. You know, in fact, you know, the Vice President of the United States went around for days talking about how this man came to the White House and was disrespectful to the president. And disrespect to the president apparently extends all the way to those who might speak out in public contrary to the president, because you know, the tools of government, in a repressive government, what happens is the leader of the government can sic the dogs of government on anyone who opposes him, and he can call the dogs off for his friends. Okay? Well, what we're watching right now is a president who is sicking the dogs of government on people who oppose him, and he's calling the dogs off for Eric Adams. He's calling the dogs off for the guy who was head of Binance, who was accused and convicted of laundering money. And now he's talking about bringing both the company and the man back to the United States. And actually, his family's looking at making an investment in the business. So what we're watching is personal aggrandizement by the president going on left and right. Have a Gaza, the Trump Gaza. You know, we've got a president whose family has made massive investments now in cryptocurrency, and the president has paved the way for the increased value of cryptocurrency. It's frightening.
So Sandy, you have just painted the picture of, and now saying this is officially a repressive government. Whatever happened to we the people? Whatever happened to we the people?
Well, apparently there's a bunch of people who are applauding the notion that the president ought to be able to control the Department of Justice in a manner in which the White House has never controlled the Department of Justice before, that the president ought to be able to control local U.S. attorneys like the ones who were pursuing Eric Adams or other of the local prosecutions that have either been turned on or turned off in the first 52 days of this presidency. You know, we've had the example set by what's going on so that we understand that a business person who runs a business who stands up and speaks out against President Trump might find the EPA at his gate the next day to investigate, might find the FDA at the gate to investigate. It's much like the crooked mayor who had the building inspectors in his pocket. And if someone stood up to oppose the mayor, then the building inspectors would come and look at their properties. And sure enough, they'd find lots of violations. And people who own property learn very quickly that you don't take the mayor on.
You know, Sandy, the frightening thing. So what about the citizenry? I mean, should we be afraid ourselves?
Well, you know, this is the way it is in repressive regimes too. Tom, Dick, and Mary don't have businesses that would put them under the direct gun of the government because all the Tom, Dick, and Mary have to do is keep their head down, not talk, not speak out in a manner that would make them notorious. And it's hard for a Tom, Dick, or Mary to be notorious in the eyes of the president in any case. And so what happens is Tom, Dick, and Mary just learn to keep their head down, hope for the best, and understand that getting involved with an organization in which they might be prominent could get them banished in some fashion. You know, we're watching, and there are plenty of cheerleaders now for the notion that this Khalid, this fellow who was the leader of the Palestinian students, should, in fact, contrary to the law, be picked up, arrested, and deported. This is not a person who's simply having his student visa withdrawn. He had a green card, which gave him permanent residence here. And the only grounds for banishing a green card member essentially is the commission of a crime. This guy has never been charged with a crime. He has simply had the temerity to stand up and speak out against policies that were in disagreement with the policies of the United States. And that has never been an appropriate ground for legal action in the past.
But Sandy, you're basically saying that, well, you're not saying it, but people should shirk their constitutional rights.
Well, yeah, I mean, the Constitution be damned. I mean, the Constitution didn't really contemplate having a president that could sic the dog of government on you and could call the dog off whenever he chooses based on his personal whim. You know, the Constitution had contemplated that presidents would behave like Teddy Roosevelt. And yes, they might try to implement the antitrust laws, but they would do it in a manner that was equal. You know, the Equal Protection Clause of the United States Constitution is there to be sure that everybody has the law applied against them equally. And so if, you know, if a government decides they're not going to prosecute a particular kind of law, then that government shouldn't prosecute it against anyone. They can't pick and choose who to prosecute. And what's happening now is that the Project 2025 called for this. And the president has quickly embraced the notion that the U.S. attorneys of various, all the districts around the country, as well as the Department of Justice, are his to own and his to operate. And he can call the dog on and he can call the dog off. And that's the policy that the United States citizenry, when they elected him, decided they wanted to have. Now, that wasn't the mandate of this election. And I hope that the citizens who are watching worry about the notion that the dog could be sicked on them as well.
855-752-4842. It's Friday. That means Friday's with my co-host Sandy Williams. And boy, do we have a lot to discuss and a lot to talk about. Your calls. I welcome you tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.
There's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah. Father, Father, we don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer, for only love.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Friday's my co-host, Sandy Williams. Sandy, your music selection.
Yeah, well, I've chosen music that relates to people's ability and right to speak out if they want. The notion that of government repression. There's lots of music that's been written that relates to that. And it's always been a fear of people that I mean, government has a lot of latent power, and we all knew during the period in Vietnam when you stood up to express your opposition to the war in Vietnam, there was a certain outcast nature that you realized sociologically, at least, but not politically. I mean, people weren't being put in prison for speaking out against the war. If they committed acts of violence, yes. And today it appears that speech itself has become a serious problem and a serious issue. And when you look at the things that are going on, the executive order that was directed specifically at the Perkins Coie law firm and at the Covington and Burling law firm, these are two of the revered big law firms in the United States. These are firms that were being having the dog of government sicked on them solely because of who they had allowed to be their clients. Lawyers are required under the on by the bar to basically take on clients left and right. They aren't supposed to choose the clients they pick based on the kind of notion of whether or not they were for or against the president's policies. But the president himself has decided to try to destroy these two law firms to the extent that he and the power of the United States government could do so. And that's the kind of chilling prospect that has businesses of all kinds, I think, deciding that they, the leaders of those businesses, must keep their head down for fear that speaking out will cause the dog of government to be sicked on them. And it's a terrible thing. I don't think that this kind of thing has happened very often. Woodrow Wilson implemented a law which was quickly deemed to be unconstitutional, which made criminal speaking out against the policy of the United States with respect to World War I. And the Supreme Court quickly took that matter on and threw that law out because it was so terribly un-American.
You know, Sandy Reuters, I was looking it up this morning. Donald Trump has 47% favorability. You and I spoke earlier, and you were talking about people who still support this. Do you think they're supporting it and not understanding the magnitude of what is transpiring here?
Well, I think they're supporting it because what's happening, what he's doing, it appeals to them with respect to the policies. There are lots of people out there who would like to see Mahmoud Khalil not in the country because they disagree with the pro-Palestinian position being expressed by Mahmoud Khalil. But they don't understand that opposing position could be them, right?
Yes.
They could be the minority. It could be them who is deciding that what's going on in government is improper. We have known, we experienced for the 4 years of Joe Biden, a lot of conservatives calling in and expressing their opinions without any fear whatsoever that Joe Biden would come down upon them, that their businesses would become the focus of the government dogs. But that's not the case now with respect to, you look at people like Jamie Dimon, the head of Chase Manhattan Bank, one of the biggest banks in the world, and he's changed his tune dramatically because he understands that banks get controlled by the government, and if the president has complete control over all of the wings of government, all of the tools of government, and if those tools can be deployed against you, then the honorable thing, as far as you and your business is concerned, is that you not express your personal political views to the detriment of the business that you run and all the employees that reside within it.
Well, Sandy, to threaten universities and say if you allowed this freedom of speech on your campuses, and so we're opposed to that, so we're going to sanction you. And
Well,
what
yes, I
is
mean,
this, man?
taking $400 million in a year away from Columbia University is an extreme sanction. They're doing it based on some paying lip service to the notion that the school might have countenanced some form of anti-Semitism that was troublesome. But there's been no actual investigation.
No.
There's been no criminal proceeding brought. There's been no nothing more than the arm waving politically associated with legislative committee calling people in and talking to them for several hours and then reaching conclusions. Now, what went on campus and lots of campuses across the country was probably troublesome, difficult for the campus leaders to figure out how to handle. But the notion that you would take your government gun out and shoot it at Columbia, and we'll see what the other universities are. You know, the president was proud to say, and his White House staff was proud to say, that this is just the first of many of these grants that are going to be withdrawn. And Mahmoud Khalil is just the first of many people who can expect to be deported for speaking their opinions.
You know, Sandy, it is a message that they're sending, a shot across the bow, because other universities. And so if you say we're doing it because Jewish students are being threatened, what about Palestinian students and others? So would we do the same thing for them if the shoe was on the other foot? That's what's at stake here.
Well, I mean, if you could make a finding that a university was turning its eyes away from and countenancing substantial anti-Semitic behavior on its campus, then there ought to be an investigation that proves that. And then the proper sanction for that could be considered. But this is all just political arm waving. And it's interesting that the institutions that are under the eye of the government here are all liberal institutions.
855-752-4842. It's Friday. My co-host Sandy Williams and you.
Hello, darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk with you again. Because a vision softly creeping left its seeds while I was sleeping. And the vision that was planted in my brain still remains within the sound of silence. In restless dreams I walked alone. The streets of cobblestone, neath the halo of a street lamp, I turned my collar to the cold and damp. When my eyes were stabbed by the flash of a neon light.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842, Texas, that same number. It's Friday. That means Friday's my co-host, Sandy Williams. And Sandy, I forgot the name of that group. I used to love that song.
Well, that's Simon and Garfunkel.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, and that was before they broke up. That was one of the early ones. And it was really about the silence of non-dissent, you know, is a cancer that grows. And so I thought that was particularly poignant with respect to the subject that I wanted to talk about.
Let me concern about government shutdown. You have always been one who, over the years, I would talk about government shutdown, and you would all, and I was absolutely sure that there was going to be a government shutdown. And you would always say, no, it's not going to happen. Not going to be a government shutdown. I mean, I was almost absolutely certain that there were going to be government shutdowns. You always said no. They always worked it out. You were always right. So in this instance, Democrats and many of us who support them wanted to see the shutdown happen. And Chuck Schumer has said, no, we can't do it because if we do, I guess the president then has control over, you know, what facets of government, you know, he can keep open and support. What are your thoughts about the conversation about the government shutdown?
Well, you know, I thought, and I think Chuck Schumer thought a week ago, that a shutdown was just exactly what the Republicans deserved based on what they were doing to government. and that a shutdown of government would be a further display to the American people of many of the good things that government does, that government is not just a bunch of paper pushers who push things from one corner to the other, that in many ways we're dependent on the government for our day-to-day activities, and a shutdown could prove that. So I thought that, you know, a week ago that a shutdown probably would happen if the Republicans couldn't get their act entirely together. But I think that Schumer has come to the same conclusion that maybe I have, which is that a shutdown would play into Elon Musk's hands and the whole Doge operation, and that with no workers in place, this Doge team would be able to get into each and every one of the agencies and have their way, and have their way in some ways that would not receive any of the kind of resistance that simply having workers there would give them. And so my belief now is that the Democrats will not participate in the votes that would require a shutdown.
You know, Sandy, with all the different things that are going on, I mean, your head is spinning because the uncertainty is just nonstop. And so let's say, okay, so the government stays open. And here's what I keep hearing, you know, they won't give Donald Trump a win. Sandy, why are they referring to this as if this is some kind of sporting event and Donald Trump has to get a win? I mean,
well, I think it's a projection of what was their policy starting with Barack Obama. I remember Mitch McConnell basically announced that it was their policy that Barack Obama should never get a win, you know, and they were going to block him in every direction that the president wanted to go. The Republicans' job was to keep it from happening. And so I think they're projecting that same strategy now to the Democrats in the face of Donald Trump. But, you know, what's going on now, if you were somebody who wanted to create a recession in the United States by taking charge of the government and doing all the things necessary to basically assure that the economy would tank, you could go to the playbook that Donald Trump has just used for the last 53 days. And you could follow that playbook and be absolutely sure, I think, that you are driving the country into a recession. And in fact, Donald Trump's unwilling to deny the notion that maybe a recession is around the corner. And there are people in the administration who talk about a recession as being an opportunity, that this is all part of the normal business cycle. We had one of our listeners last week send in a text message to the extent that a recession is a normal part of a business cycle and it represents an opportunity. Well, who does it represent an opportunity for? It represents an opportunity to those who have mountains of cash, who are very wealthy and are in a position to wait the recession out so that they can bottom feed, is what it's called, and buy up all the things at an opportunistically low price. And it's further an opportunity for people who trade in the market, because when you know there's going to be a recession and maybe the rest of the world doesn't, you can sell stocks short. You can bet on the notion that the stock values are going to go down, and you can make much more money in that kind of a bet than you can on buying stocks and waiting for them to go up. And so my suspicion is that if someone went out today and really investigated with a fine-tooth comb and used all the powers of government for the investigation, they could find that somewhere in the Trump family enterprises, they've sold the market short. And Donald Trump is too sanguine about this recession to not be thinking that he's going to personally profit from it.
So Sandy.
And however, the way government is currently organized, Donald Trump and his operation will never get investigated, not by a Department of Justice that he controls, not by an FBI that he controls, not by an SEC that he controls. And so, you know, sauce for the goose is not sauce for the game.
So, Sandy, you talk about with the imminent recession and the fact that Donald Trump and the people who are in the stock market and those people who are able to benefit one way or another. But recession to the average American means dire times and dire straits and lean times, Sandy.
As far as Tom, Dick, and Mary are concerned, a recession is blood.
It's
blood they spend because they're the ones who get pinched. They are the ones who lose their jobs. They're the ones who get laid off. They're the ones who lose their homes and everything else. Yeah, absolutely. And so, you know, the notion that this is a little bit of pain, we'll find out just how much pain it is, because my belief is that we're headed on a watching a freight train and it's going into a wall and it might be moving at a pace, but at some point it hits the wall.
And you know, Sandy, especially where it didn't have to happen.
Yeah, this is quite self-inflicted. You know, the kind of business cycle that our listener wrote in about is the kind of business cycle in which business itself accomplishes the cycle based on the normal trend towards equilibrium. But this business cycle is going to be a government-inflicted wound.
So historically, Sandy, as we continue to watch this, and it almost appears to be no way to stop it. Let me ask you, is there any way that you see right now that can stop our nation headed towards this train wreck?
Well, I don't know if it was in the Wall Street Journal, but it's a news source that I read a great deal. But I just recently read somebody who said, well, there's a way to stop this. Donald Trump would simply have to say that I'm completely wrong with all the policies that I'm implementing, and we're going to revert to a much more normal course of action. Can anyone picture Donald Trump saying those words? I mean, can anyone picture the notion that he's going to back off from tariffs, when tariffs are the toy that a president can actually play with unilaterally? And it's one of the reasons why he thinks they're so magic. It's because it's his magic wand. No, I think the only way we can back off from the course of action we're on that is leading us to a recession is for Donald Trump and his various peers around him to say, you know, we're wrong. We're headed the wrong way. Tariffs aren't the answer. Smashing government isn't the answer. We need to attend to the interests of Tom, Dick, and Mary, and we need to make sure that there's a predictability about the government so that the business environment can have stability underlying it. But so, predictability is not Donald Trump's game.
So, Sandy, I was reading this article in the New York Times this morning David Brooks. And David Brooks, this is the title of it. It isn't just Trump. America's whole reputation is shot. That's what people need to understand, Sandy. They see this one guy, the people who support him, they're willing to sell out the reputation of the entire nation globally to protect this one man.
Well, this is a man who announces to everyone that he's transactional, but he's not the businessman with whom you can have a transaction on a handshake. The handshake is not to be trusted. Mexico and Canada found that out when they renegotiated the North American trade agreement in 2018 and set up a whole new agreement, which Donald Trump has simply unilaterally decided to defy and to ignore. So there's no such thing as trusting the United States going forward. Vladimir Zelensky understands that. Everyone who looks at the United States as a trusted ally understands we're not to be trusted. And the notion that you can use the big stick of America to smack everyone into shape by withdrawing from them and withdrawing from aid so that you are no longer a country upon which anyone depends suggests that what you're really doing is breaking that big stick, because America's influence in the world has long been premised on the notion that we are magnificent and about the way we spread our aid. We are We are abundantly available to our allies in a manner which does not require a great deal of a pound of flesh from them. And so we have a bunch of allies around the world. We have a bunch of Western-leaning people, countries around the world. All of that is going to be destroyed quickly when we partition the world back into what it was in 1890, this Gilded Age that Donald Trump wants to talk about, when the United States was not the most influential country in the world, and when wars were commonplace.
You know, Sandy, it is as David Brooks said in this article. David Brooks, a great writer. He's always been a great writer. And the way he put this, you know, together, Sandy, all it made me stop and think was, there's no way out of it. The damage is already done. And so there will be presidents afterwards. You know, Donald Trump certainly is not going to be the last president. But how do you rebuild the reputation? Because, and we'll let you, after 855, respond after 855-752-4842. It's Friday. That means Fridays with my co-host Sandy Williams and you on the Earl Ingram Show. That was planted in my brain, still remains within the sound of silence. In restless dreams I walked alone, streets of cobblestone, neath the halo of a street lamp. I turned my collar to the cold and damp, when my eyes were stabbed by the flash of a neon light that split the night.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
In Philly last night, now they blew up his house too. Down on the boardwalk, they're getting ready for a fight. Gonna see what them racket boys can do. Now there's trouble busting in from out of state, and the DA can't get no skin of its teeth. Well, now everything dies, baby, that's a fact. Maybe everything that dies someday.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Text us that same number. It's Friday. It means Friday's with my co-host, Sandy. And Sandy, the music.
Well, the music's about sort of the kind of conduct that is repressive. That's a particular song by Bruce Springsteen about Atlantic City and the activities of the mob and the way they kind of controlled behavior in Atlantic City, which is ironic. Atlantic City is the scene of four of Donald Trump's casino bankruptcies, I think.
Well, you know, Sandy, the Simon and Garfunkel tune, and I remember as a young boy listening to that, never really got to listen to the lyrics. But after listening to the lyrics just now, because Cardi played it, just, you know, man, powerful, powerful, and apropos for what's happening today, no question.
Yeah, I mean, you know, what's basically happening is a government that wants to scare us all into silence. If we aren't going to be supportive, at least we better shut up. You know, we were talking before the break about the David Brooks article, opinion at piece in the New York Times, in which he talks about how it is that the reputation of the United States is
tarnished,
damaged, maybe for a very long time. And it's the same way that a businessman damages his reputation by, or business person damage their reputation by not keeping their word, by going back on a deal. And, you know, Donald Trump has thought nothing of that, of doing that. He has not a good reputation as a business person. If you're in the real estate business world, you know to stay away from Donald Trump. It's not to, a deal is not to be trusted. And so for the United States It will take a while because, yes, the next president might be a totally honorable person, but the country itself has demonstrated that our political process can install in leadership positions people who will go back on the treaties that the United States has signed, will ignore any of what has been the norm of dealing with the United States. And so how can you rely on the United States? And if we set up a government in which the pendulum of power swings so dramatically with each new president, then the rest of the world can't really trust the stability of the United States either. I mean, foreign policy for the United States used to be quite a stable part of public policy. It no longer is, obviously. We turned on a dime about 2 weeks ago Thursday. You know, we can all point at the day. And so yeah, I think David Brooks is right. Donald Trump is spending a part of the American currency which is very, very dear, and I'm afraid that he squandered it.
You know, Sandy, to be stupid and make stupid statements like he did with Kennedy, still saying Canada should be our 51st state. I mean, it's one thing to say that tongue in cheek, Sandy, and then it's forgotten, but he's
Yeah.
still talking about that today.
Well, to the point where there are those in Canada who believe that his tariff war is all designed to
Based on that.
bring Canada to its mercantile knees so that it can be annexed. And, you know, we're in the process of clearly we've got a president who is expansionist in nature. He wants Greenland. I mean, he talks about it regularly and says it's going to happen. You know, we're going to get it done. He's also commissioned his military in a manner that has been leaked to the public, probably for the purpose of having the public know that he's asked the military to investigate how we could take over the Panama Canal using military.
You know, Sandy, you're frightening, man. His military.
Yes, I mean, once again, by dint of Project 2025's playbook, they're digging deep into the military, firing generals, replacing them with
Right.
people who are sympathetic to the
Right.
policies of the president. But the policies of the president appear to be to involve demonstrating great respect for, reverence to, and to abide by the whims of the president, you know, because Volodymyr Zelensky found out what happens if you don't treat the president just so.
Sandy, did you ever in your wildest dreams, and I know the answer is no, ever believe this could happen in this nation?
No, I guess I never thought that someone would be elected president who has the kind of ambitions personally that this president has, that would ignore the norms so completely, and we would end up with a political movement that is dedicated to that person and to the views and whims of that person. So yeah, it's altogether unexpected because I just didn't see it. You know, it's the truck that is hitting me as I step off the curb because I didn't see it.
Well, there's no way you or anybody else could have seen it. There's no way we could have thought that our nation could wind up in the perilous condition that it's in now. 855-752-4842. We're going to take your phone calls on the other side. It's Friday. That means Friday's my co-host Sandy Williams and you.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.